tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Christopher Cruz. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said today that the country will destroy Hamas for invading Israel. He said the offensive in Gaza is still in its early stages. As Israel reportedly prepares to move its ground forces into Gaza, the Hamas-ruled enclave is already suffering from Israeli airstrikes, says CBS's Imtiaz Tayeb.
In the light of day, unending scenes of chaos and carnage as the dead and wounded litter the streets. Hospitals are now at breaking point, overwhelmed by the sheer number of casualties. Exhausted doctors are being forced to make agonizing decisions.
At the White House, CBS's Weijia Zhang says President Biden spoke virtually today with the families of 14 Americans who Hamas may be holding hostage.
This is really a difficult situation, which is why the president wants to try to ease it a bit by providing reassurance that they are doing everything they can.
In Qatar today, Secretary of State Antony Blinken said he understands that many people in Gaza are suffering, but he placed the blame for that on Hamas.
Efforts to get humanitarian aid into Gaza are complicated by the fact that Hamas continues to use innocent civilians as human shields.
Security is being increased in the U.S. because of the violence in the Middle East.
Police officers have been stationed outside synagogues here in the Bay Area, and at least three Jewish day schools are closed today as a precaution. Tyler Gregory, CEO of the Jewish Community Relations Council, says so far there are no credible threats, but they are in touch with both local police and the FBI.
We don't want to scare people. And we want them to know that this is something that we're thinking about and being as proactive as we can.
Threats of violence against Jews and Israelis have increased some 400% since the start of the Israeli-Hamas conflict, according to the Anti-Defamation League. Matt Bigler for CBS News, San Francisco.
Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan is once again a candidate for Speaker of the House, says CBS's Nicole Killian.
He did confirm to us that he is in this race yet again, although there could be other candidates. We know Republicans will be a meeting throughout the day as they try to find another speaker. But Jordan told me that he is confident that he can win support of this conference.
American officials say more than 1,000 containers of North Korean military equipment and munitions have arrived in Russia to support its invasion of Ukraine. Kaiser Permanente and a union representing tens of thousands of its employees said today they have reached a tentative contract agreement. More than 75,000 Kaiser employees walked out last week for 3 days. On Wall Street, less than an hour before the close, the Dow is up slightly, NASDAQ down more than a point. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
Hey.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. A Western Wisconsin elementary school was placed on lockdown after a nearby incident involving an assault rifle. The Ladysmith Police Department reports a man contacted police after a neighbor confronted him and pointed an AR-15 rifle at him. 57-year-old Corwin Blackwell was arrested on charges of first-degree recklessly endangering safety and disorderly conduct. The incident occurred after school hours, but students were still in the building for extracurriculars and went into lockdown as a safety precaution. Chippewa Valley High School entered a hold situation after an undisclosed incident in the vicinity of the school. Superintendent Jeff Holmes released a statement advising parents that law enforcement officials had quickly resolved the matter and that operations at the high school returned to normal, but school officials wanted parents to know that the hold situation had been ordered. The statement did not provide additional details about the incident. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
The 7th Annual Cap Times Idea Fest returned to Madison September 17th, featuring conversations with leaders in government, business, education, social justice, and culture. Idea Fest moderators and guests looked ahead to what the future could look like in Wisconsin and how we reckon with change brought on by the pandemic, the Black Lives Matter movement, and other forces. Civic Media proudly partnered with Idea Fest and will present segments of this year's recorded gathering this weekend across the Civic Media Network. Tune in Saturday at 2 p.m. on your favorite Civic Media station.
The Todd Alba Show.
What makes our society great is that we can believe in something bigger than ourselves. Doesn't matter whether it's a soccer team or whether it's a political movement or whether it's a public school, whether it's a neighborhood PTA, a bake sale. It's about interacting with our friends and neighbors and making our communities better for having come together around a common cause.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Alba Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. 93.5. The Tap. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. You're going right to the front lines of history in the making. And as it has all week, I'm going to start with the invasion of Israel by Gaza, the brutal attacks, sadistic attacks, genocidal attacks, Israel's response and where we stand right now, and some new developments. First of all, it is now beginning to look as if it has the possibility of being a three-front war. Gaza, which is that strip along the Mediterranean next to Israel, that's where these terrorists came out. They murdered babies in front of their mothers, cut babies' heads off, decapitated people, raped them, sexually mutilated them, murdered people. But also Hezbollah in southern Lebanon to the north. Hezbollah is a Shiite group. The terrorists in Gaza are a Sunni group. You might say, so what? I don't know the difference. They hate each other, but they are making common cause against Israel right now. And then the Golan Heights. Golan Heights in Syria, occupied by Israel, is starting to get restive. And the idea is, one of the things that Joe Biden did that's terrific, sent the Gerald R. Ford Aircraft Carrier Task Force right there in the Mediterranean, make sure that everybody understands that we are not going to tolerate a war breaking out in the Middle East. Now, at the same time, today, the 13th of October, was declared a day of rage, a day of jihad, by a character named Khaled Massal, K-H-A-L-E-D-M-A-S-H-A-L. He's the former political director of Hamas, a terrorist himself. And he's called for a day of rage. Now, throughout the Middle East, in Iraq, in Iran, parts of Lebanon, but not so much in Saudi Arabia, where it's such a tight fascist state, authoritarian state, that nobody dares do anything without the permission of the crown prince. But also in Berlin, in Paris, in Japan, in Sydney. And now Germany and France have shut down these, they say they're pro-Palestinian pro-Palestinian demonstrations. They're not pro-Palestinian demonstrations. They're pro-jihad demonstrations, full of hatred, full of murder, directed at the West, directed at Israel. But in New York City, for instance, earlier in the week, under our First Amendment, we let people have freedom of expression to a point. They can't advocate violence. They can't commit violence. They can't commit public disorder. And there, some of the sadists in the group marched down to the Israeli embassy carrying swastika flags, making common cause with Nazis. In Sydney, Australia, the crowd shouted, gas the Jews, sadists, making common cause with Nazis. Now, where is this going? Is there an obligation in this country under our First Amendment, when we are at war in effect with jihad in the Middle East, to tolerate this? My own view is that under the First Amendment, we're not required to do it. And when people, they can demonstrate all they want, but when they start showing Nazi insignia and advocating harm to Jewish people who are our citizens, there are a couple of things we should do. There should be arrests, but there should also be revocation of student visas for anybody in these events. Our immigration system is broken in many, many respects, but it has been far too lenient in letting in jihadist influences in this country. It's resulted in violence. It's resulted in 9/11, resulted in Orlando, San Bernardino, Fort Hood, Ohio State, the Manhattan bike path murders. That's got to stop. We need a jihad-free America. We cannot permit this kind of sadism and this kind of hatred towards the United States, hatred towards Israel, hatred towards the West to persist. Now, how is this manifesting itself in civil discourse now? There was an event that occurred in Dan Bice of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel today, wrote an article about this, and I'd mentioned this before, but I want to emphasize it now. There was a resolution in the State Assembly to condemn the sadism of Hamas. There are three people in the Milwaukee area who voted against it. Two of them are members not of the Democratic Party. They may say they are, but they're not Democrats. The Democratic Socialists of America. One of them is Ryan Clancy. The other one is Darren Madison. Ryan Clancy represents the east side of Milwaukee. Darren Clancy, Shorewood, both of them among the higher income areas in the state. They call themselves socialists. I have no idea what they really believe. And a third representative named Lakeisha Myers. What was particularly offensive about what Ryan Clancy did was he said that one of the reasons why he voted against it was because the resolution referenced the acts as barbaric and evil, and he disagreed with that. He disagreed that beheading babies, murdering, raping mothers, girls, parading the corpse of a naked Israeli beautiful girl with her legs spread so wide, she had obviously had her bones broken, and the rabble along the way spit on the body, he felt that that was not barbaric and evil. This is the same clown who said about the police, there is no dignity and value in the police, in what they do. That's what he said. That's what the clown said. Now, Ann Jacobs, who's on the Wisconsin Election Commission, is a Democrat, and has called for his removal from the legislature. I agree with her 100%. I would expel him from the legislature, Clancy in particular. But if he's not expelled, he's up for re-election this coming November. So is Darren Madison, and so is Lakeisha Myers. So this is a plain statement. If there's anybody out there who is willing to serve in the Wisconsin legislature and serve representing the east side of Milwaukee, Shorewood, or Lakeisha Myers, the northwest side of Milwaukee, consider filing your nomination papers. Consider filing them. This is an issue that's not going to go away. That Times Square demonstration that carried the swastikas down to the Israeli embassy the other day was also sponsored by the Democratic Socialists of America. And the Democratic Socialists of America in Milwaukee on their website have posted the most vile and despicable things about that Hamas attack against the Israelis. Brian Clancy also posted, according to the article by Dan Bice, something right out of Al Jazeera, in which they compared fatalities in the various fighting in the Middle East with Israel over some years, and it was a lopsided amount. They said it was something like in the hundreds for Israelis and in the thousands for Palestinians and others. I don't trust their figures, quite frankly. But Ryan Clancy posted this with the word context. We don't need this stain on the Democratic Party. We don't want this stain on the Democratic Party. I do not want this stain on the Democratic Party. And somebody who can be as heartless as saying that the sadism directed towards infants, women, young girls, grandmas, is not barbaric and evil, taking issue with that, makes him, in my opinion, unfit to serve in the Wisconsin legislature as a Democrat. Other things are coming out as well. Stanford University, Palo Alto, California, very prestigious university. A lot of people would love to go there. They have a clown instructor who teaches a course called Civil, Liberal, and Global Education, whatever the heck that is. Whatever the heck that is. Okay. Right after the Hamas invasion, he asked every Jewish student in his class to identify himself or herself and made them stand in a corner. They were afraid not to because they figured he'd fail them. So they stood there, and then he would ask them these kinds of questions. Quote, how many people died in the Holocaust? One of them said 6 million. He said, falsely lying, that's the Israeli settlers, as he called them, killed more than that in the Middle East. That's false, by the way. What is this clown doing teaching at Stanford University? What is Stanford University thinking? You know, enough is enough. I believe in the First Amendment, believe strongly in the First Amendment, represent a lot of media in the course of my legal career against libel suits, defamation suits, and so forth. But there's a certain amount of principle that has to be involved here, and you don't get to teach somewhere if you do that kind of stuff, and you don't get to serve in the Wisconsin legislature if you do that kind of stuff. And if you march with swastikas, you don't get to do that in the United States if you're here on a student visa. I would get rid of them. We need a jihad-free America, and we've got to go to that goal now. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Time out!
All right! Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
We have some heavy rain on the way today into tonight, an inch to an inch and a half possible here across much of the region. It's going to be windy too, cloudy, windy, heavy rain, 48 today. The wind east gusting to between 30 and 40 miles per hour today. Tonight, rain likely down to 45. Tomorrow, showers in the morning, then mostly cloudy with a high of 54. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 48.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, the Republican Party is still a mess in trying to get a speaker. Steve Scalise dropped out, even though he beat Jim Jordan in the secret caucus in the Republican Party. He was told that there were many, I think maybe as many as 15 or 20 Republicans who would never vote for him. So he dropped out. That left only Gymnasium Jim G.Y.M. Jordan. Let me say this. Jim Jordan cannot be permitted to be Speaker of the House for a variety of reasons. He was the congressional leader of the coup. He met with Donald Trump in the White House in December, the week after Christmas of 2000, plotting what they would do, plotting the fake elector scheme based on the Eastman memo, coordinating so that these fake electors would be shown to Pence. Pence would be go on the to the podium and you go, well, you know, there's doubt in my mind, so I'm going to give it back to the legislatures. If it came back to Wisconsin, we're gerrymandered, it's a crooked gerrymander, and they would say, okay, if it's with us, we are going to go with Donald Trump. And that would have also happened in a couple of other states, and then Donald Trump would be president. Jim Jordan did that. Jim Jordan should be a criminal defendant in Jack Smith's case in Washington, D.C. He could have been a criminal defendant in Fannie Willis's in Atlanta, because when you charge a conspiracy like that, you can involve people who committed their dastardly acts in other jurisdictions other than your state. If Josh Call prosecutes the fake electors in Wisconsin, all 10 of them, and Johnson, Ron Johnson, and Voss, and Fitzgerald, he could put in Jim Jordan. That's not happening in this state. Jack Smith decided to limit his prosecution to the one defendant, Donald Trump, the big kahuna. But the reason that Jim Jordan can't be speaker isn't just sort of cosmetic. He would be second in line to the presidency of the United States. If, God forbid, something happened medically or otherwise to Joe Biden, it would be Kamala Harris. But if, God forbid, anything happened to her, it would be Jim Jordan. I do not want a Trump cult fascist as president of the United States. a number of congressmen, I think, understand that, believe it. They also are not stupid. They only care about their own reelections. But if they put him in as speaker, they're going to lose their seats, some of them. The problem is there are 10 Republicans out of town right now. 10 Republicans out of town, and their number of Democrats out of town. So it won't take 217 votes to vote from on the floor if they go to it today. A guy named Austin Scott stuck his nostrils up out of the mire, and he is also saying he's from South Georgia. He's saying he's running for speaker, and he's running against Gymnasium Jim G.Y.M. Jordan in their caucus. Now, I Google Austin Scott because, quite frankly, I've never heard of him. He hasn't done anything. He is right wing, as you can imagine, except he is strongly favors Ukraine aid. I believe he would strongly favor aid to Israel. And he may be savvy enough to put on the floor for a vote a clean budget until the new president's elected. Now, why do I say that? And one of the things we're not concentrating on enough is this. All it has to do is be put on the floor. But the speaker alone has the authority to put it on the floor. Gymnasium Jim G.Y.M. Jordan will not put Ukraine aid on the floor. He may not put Israel aid on the floor. And he certainly won't put anything else on the floor that Donald Trump doesn't want. Donald Trump has endorsed him. Donald Trump has threatened anybody who votes against him with a primary. The reasons it's important just to put it on the floor, let's say a guy like Austin Scott is a speaker. If he puts Ukraine aid on the floor and he would vote for it, but he say he wouldn't, or Israel aid or a clean budget, he'd get up there and give a speech. He could say, well, I'm against this. As long as he puts it on the floor for a vote, it will get 212 Democratic votes and it'll get 120 or 30 Republican votes. And the crazies can vote against it all they want, but it'll pass with 356 votes, just like it did, minus the Ukraine aid, unfortunately, under Kevin McCarthy. So what's going to happen? Right now, the speculation is when I went on the air, they were still voting in the caucus. When that's released, it'll probably won't be released, the results, until after this show is over, but Diamond Crew can handle it. If a guy like Austin Scott can come out of nowhere and get a bunch of votes, Jim Jordan's in trouble. On the other hand, if Jim Jordan gets a lot of votes, not going to get 217 in the caucus, they may put him out on the floor. They may do a vote today, a surprise vote, a Pearl Harbor vote, a sneak attack vote. So it won't take 217 votes. And they'll do a count on how many Democrats and Republicans are out of town. It might only take 208 votes. And they might try to slip this dirty dog through. The good thing is Hakeem Jeffries has already said, if they do that, we're going to take advantage of the House rule that one member can call the chair vacant, and I'll call the chair vacant. We'll vote again, and we're all back in town. So this is a mess. This is an absolute mess. Only because of the Republican Party, only because of about eight Republicans who are part of the fascist cult of Trump. We're going to break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
CBS News special report. The UN is asking Israel to cancel its order telling 1 million residents of northern Gaza to move to southern Gaza by tomorrow. The Secretary General spokesman Stefan Dujarric.
We consider it is impossible for such a movement to take place without devastating humanitarian consequences, and we strongly appeal for any such order if to be rescinded.
Israeli troops have been entering Gaza with a specific purpose in mind, says CBS's Holly Williams.
Israel says that those cross-border raids into the Gaza Strip were aimed not just at hitting Hamas, but at locating hostages, not rescuing them, but locating them.
Americans are getting out of Israel, says CBS's Robert Berger in Jerusalem.
Close destinations like Athens and Istanbul. And then from there, the Americans who are leaving can try to catch commercial flights back to the U.S.
A charter flight landed today in Athens. CBS News Special Report. I'm Christopher Cruz.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. The Eau Claire Public Library is seeking help to address concerns about the unsheltered population in the area. Charlie Schell, a member of the library's Board of Trustees, attended a city council meeting on Monday to ask for funds to help address concerns over incidents involving the unsheltered population at the library. He also said the library plans to hire a security guard and employees have done extensive training on de-escalating difficult-to-handle situations. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin has joined a bipartisan group of senators calling for Secretary of State Antony Blinken to freeze $6 billion of Iranian assets. The calls come in the wake of the deadly terror attack in Israel and subsequent conflict. The group of senators cited Iran's longstanding support for Hamas and its history of supporting acts of terrorism through them as reason for the Biden administration to freeze the assets. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Red Delicious, Honey Crisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute.
Weekdays from 4 until 6
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
For your favorite shows and hosts on our website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. There's a disinformation campaign underway that you should be aware of. Twitter, now it's X, I guess, formerly known as Twitter. They've, outside journalists, not Elon Musk, have located 67 accounts that are essentially a coordinated campaign to spread disinformation about the Middle East. Let me explain. Prior to the invasion by Hamas of Israel, all of these postings, all of these accounts were innocuous. Some would talk about basketball. Some would talk about like a state like Connecticut, you know, what it's like, its geography, very innocuous. But, you know, in terms of security under Elon Musk, there's no longer any verification to be a verified user, there's no longer some verification that you exist, that you are who you say you are, and so forth. All you have to do is pay. So they all paid. Right after the invasion by Hamas of Israel, and the sadistic genocidal attack on civilians, all of these accounts in coordination started to post disinformation, and it's really quite sly, quite clever. For instance, they will post a picture of somebody, a video, speaking a foreign language, typically Russia, typically Putin or Sergei Lavrov as foreign minister, and very few people in this country speak Russian or understand it. So you'll have this very, very menacing looking figure spitting out things in Russian, and then they will put, and I see right now, just skimming across the lines, it says Jim Jordan wins House Speaker nomination after earlier defeat. That means he beat Austin Scott. It doesn't mean he got 217 votes. We'll ask Calvin to look at that and get us the exact vote. But I want to get back to what I'm saying. When they have Sergei Lavrov or Putin speaking Russian, they'll put a false chyron, we call it, C-H-Y-R-O-N, the words underneath, translating it. And they're totally different from what's really being said. So, for instance, one time, Sergei Lavrov was on there giving an impassioned speech, angered at the fact that Tucker Carlson had been thrown off of Fox, and they translated it as something like, we will use nuclear weapons if the United States does X. Okay, so I'm looking at the thing. It was a vote of 124 to 81. He defeated Austin Scott. If they go to a vote on that, they're out of their minds. He's not going to get 217 out of 124. A lot of those others, when 83 people, let's see, when 81 people don't, you know, Austin Scott's never done anything. He's a non-entity. And he gets what? He gets this. This is very bad news for Gymnasium Jim GYM Jordan. It's very good news for the United States. I'm going to go back to my comments. I see the line lighting up. I'm going to go to the lines. Joe of Madison, my friend, you're first. What's in your mind today, Joe?
Hey, Matt. I can you hear me?
I sure can, Joe.
Okay, sorry. Matt, I was calling. I'm not sure if we touched on this or not, but I do think the issue of Jim Jordan is a fascinating one when you consider that Trump gave him a Medal of Honor, which I believe that you had mentioned before. Excuse me, Medal of Freedom. And right. I just think, why? What's going on there that was so important to do? Another, it was also gave it to Devin Nunes. What was going on there? And I think there is something about, and tell me that I'm not getting too conspiracy-minded here, but Trump is out of the line of getting information, as most past presidents do, on intel and security matters related to the United States. Most ex-presidents get those briefings because the thoughts are that those ex-presidents can provide some insight or thoughts or to the current president that may be helpful. When Biden came in, he said, no way is this guy getting, you know, an access line to intel about the United States. However, right. As I understand it, tell me if I'm wrong here, but a speaker, if Jim Jordan were to become speaker, he would automatically become part of the Gang of Eight, which is the group of people within the Senate and House who do get information, intel, about the most important and secure matters related to U.S. intelligence. So would this be, you know, I mean, the guy was blabbermouthing to Trump on the, you know, about the plans for January 6th, certainly. So would this suggest to you that this is a way that Trump has his support of Jordan and that this has come around again after he already lost previously? Do you feel that there is some... That Trump is pushing him in part because this would be his conduit to information about the U.S. intelligence? I'd be curious your reactions to that.
Yeah, that's an excellent question. I'm going to answer it right now, and your other callers stay on the line. I'll get to you right away. But, Joe, that's an excellent question, and the answer is yes, I agree with you. It's not a conspiracy theory. Remember, Donald Trump gave medals to Devin Nunes, to Gymnasium Jim GYM Jordan, and to Rush Limbaugh, remember? And so Rush Limbaugh, he was just repaying him for all the dirty work Limbaugh had done for him and the Republicans. And Devin Nunes was going to be leaving, and he was going to be working for one of Donald Trump's entities. But Jim Jordan, you're absolutely right. There's a thing called the Gang of Eight. Why eight? Because the two Republican leaders in the House, the two Democratic leaders in the House, two Republican leaders in the Senate, and two Democratic leaders. So, for instance, when Kevin McCarthy was in, he and Stephen Scalise, who is the number two, were part of the Gang of Eight. Somebody like Mitch McConnell and then John Thune, the senator from South Dakota, Gang of Eight, and Chuck Schumer and his number two, and Hakeem Jeffries now, and it would be Catherine Clark of Massachusetts. They're supposed to be at least adults. The bar is low. They should be loyal to the United States. They're told things. They're given briefings that are much more involved than the rest of the Congress. They can't tell anybody. They can't tell their staffs. They can't tell anybody. They're supposed to advise the president, advise the Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense, and then work in their respective caucuses for the interests of the United States. If Gymnasium Jim GYM Jordan is in there, he is a traitor to the United States. When you launch a coup, there's a great comment by Professor Snyder of Yale about that. I've used it before when he said, Donald Trump is mistaken. And in this case, you could say that Jim Jordan is mistaken if he thinks that his constitutional rights are being violated by these investigations. His constitutional rights are being ratified, affirmed by this, because in any other country, a violent coup does not end up with a trial. It's a very profound statement. It would be a disaster if this guy got in. He's a traitor to the United States. He should be a criminal defendant. And you're absolutely right. This way, if Trump wins the presidency, God forbid, he'd have his lackey. If he loses the presidency, he is a conduit to sensitive information, which he will then pass on to Putin or Saudi Arabia or anybody who pays him. Thanks an awful lot, Joe. Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend, you're next. What's in your mind today, Bill?
A couple of things. I can't help but talk about Jim Jordan, the leader of the clown show. You know, when you add all those guys up and all the charges they are responsible for, from insurrection to breaking their oath of office, it adds up. It's quite an impressive list with the charges they face or the charges that apply to them. But because of our lack of backbone in Democrats, those guys should have been out the door years ago, but unfortunately we got to put up with it. But I want to switch gears. Donald Trump has now said, BB, and he calls him BB. I love that. I'm sure that BB calls him Donald, but that's another story. But anyhow, he calls him BB, and he said he made a lot of mistakes. He did some bad things. But who does he promote? Hamas. He said, now, Hamas is intelligent. I wish the press would pick up on that. He's basically saying, I support Hamas. I don't support his buddy, as he calls him, BB. That's going to be out on the media daily to play those clips. They're available to anybody. You can YouTube them, access them. He's proven what we already know. He threw his allegiance to Putin. Now he's throwing his allegiance to Hamas. Where is Fox News covering that? Well, of course they wouldn't touch that. That's like a silver bullet at a vampire. You know, they won't. They'd never fire that bullet towards him, because at the end of it, my motto is this weekend, wake up America. We got to stand united against Hamas. If we don't, Hamas will relish if Fox News or Trump has already creates a big divide in the country. Have a great weekend. Let's all pray for Israel, and we'll get through this. Trust me, we've been through it before in 1967. I remember it like it was yesterday. I was 18 years old at the time. Thanks, and have a great day.
Thanks for the great call. As always, Bill, you have a great weekend, too. I'm going to respond to it briefly, and then next go to the next caller. The thing about Donald Trump, he cannot be permitted to be back in the White House. He is a traitor to the United States. He provided information to Putin. He praises Putin. He did what Bill just said. He's the guy that got Saudi Arabia. He made it easy for them to take over professional golf in this country. He's defended them. His son-in-law got $2 billion. The guy is on the take. He has shared confidential information. He's told an Australian billionaire about our nuclear sub capabilities. You know, we used to say in the Navy, loose lips sink ships. His lips like an elephant. I don't know if an elephant has lips. I suppose they do. But the point is not big, but pick something with a lot of them. This guy is a traitor and he is a danger to the United States. And Jim Jordan, the one good thing, and I'll go to the next caller, 124 to 81. That means 60-40. That means a total nonentity who nobody ever heard of gets 40% of the caucus because they can't stand Gymnasium Jim G.O.M. Jordan. It's time to go to someone else. I have mentioned Tom Cole of Oklahoma. Look him up. He's a moderate. He's a member of the Choctaw Nation, B.A. from Grinnell, M.A. from Yale, doctorate in history. He's a very kind of unassuming and kind of, likable guy. Yeah, he's a conservative. I get it. But he'll vote for aid to Ukraine, aid to Israel, and put in a clean budget. What can you expect? Let's take the House back next year. Wisco Paul, my friend, you're next. What's your mind, Wisco Paul?
Thanks for taking my call, man. Thanks, Joe and Bill. You guys have all covered it all there. I'm just saying that somehow or other, this government's got to function. It can't function with guys like Jim Jordan. I'm glad that's done because that's really spooky, especially with Joe said. So on the whole situation there. So anyway, we need to function in government. I don't know how this is going to work out. You have two wars going on. Very serious stuff. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Bill. Thank you for your show, Matt. Have a great weekend. By the way, go Badgers.
You got it. Thank you, Paul. Good weekend to you. Think about it. Let's, right after Pearl Harbor, if we had a Congress that couldn't elect the speaker, are you kidding me? We had, back then we were all rallied together against the Nazis and against Imperial Japan. Doesn't mean we dislike German people. Germany is the largest ethnic group in this country. It was until recently. No. And we didn't dislike Japanese people. But when you have Adolf Hitler and when you have Tojo and the emperor over there deciding to make the world, they're going to divide the world, Nazis and Imperial Japan. We couldn't put up with that. Now, you say there are two wars anyway. I mean, you have Ukraine. And you have Israel, and then what? You have a Congress that can't even put a vote on the floor? All the guy has to do, or the woman, put it on the floor. It'll get 212 Democratic votes, and it'll get 150 Republicans, and it's done. It's done. The whole idea is by these rules, crazy rules, elitist rules, unconstitutional rules, we have not permitted the Senate or the House to vote on something that most of them want, and I want, and you want, which is our government to function. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
When it came time, I'm going to pursue comedy. At the time, it was it was New York into Los Angeles. I knew more people in New York. I knew you'd get funnier in New York and there's more stage time. I'm going to LA. If my dreams are going to come crashing down, I'd rather have them come crashing down on the beach.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment.
We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
It's What's on Tap for the Chippewa Valley.
93.5.
The Tap.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Rain continues tonight, low mid-40s and breezy, gusts as high as 30 miles an hour, might even hear a rumble of thunder. Maybe an early shower to start Saturday, then mostly cloudy and a high in the low 50s. Sun's back in mid-50s for Sunday. Right now it's 48.
Home for the Devil's Advocates.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Going right to the lines again. David and Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind today, David?
Yeah, hi. You know, we really ought to ask ourselves, why are these so-called left-wing organizations supporting Hamas and these killers? Hamas is a right-wing, theocratic, fundamentalist, radical conservative organization, and their objective is to impose Sharia law all over, well, in not only Israel proper, but also the West Bank and Gaza. And let's look at who they attacked, who this right-wing group that's supported by these so-called socialists, so-called leftists attacked. They attacked the kibbutzim, the kibbutzes, along the Gaza-Israel demarcation line. There was like four or five of them they attacked. The kibbutzim there are filled with the most left people you can find in Israel or really anywhere. They live on literally voluntary communal farms based on the Marxist model. And that's extremely unfair. You know, in fact, I'm just going to say it. That's anti-Semitism, and I'm not afraid to say it's anti-Semitism. That's what it is.
Right. No, I'll back you up. In fact, I'll say it. It is anti-Semitism. This attack, the people in Hamas, some of the Hamas people, you know, they were dressed in Israeli police officer and IDF soldier uniforms to trick people, and then they kill them. But some of them got killed, and they found ISIS flags on some of them. Remember, ISIS was in Iraq, and they pillaged through Iraq, murdering Christians. They murdered hundreds of thousands of them and drove them out of the country. They are the scourge of the Middle East in Muslim countries as well. ISIS is hunted down by Egypt. It's hunted down by Saudi Arabia. They are simply a terror network who torture people, and they don't much care who it is. Now, people on the left, and when I want to be careful about this, because in fairness, there are a lot of people who are socialists or democratic socialists who absolutely are top-notch people. I don't agree with them on economic policy, but so what? But they're not, they're gentle people, they're not bad people. But there is a strain in the leadership of the Democratic Socialists of America. And I've called out several over here in Milwaukee, Ryan Clancy and Darren Madison in the legislature, who voted either present or voted against a resolution just condemning the barbarity and evil of Hamas. That's all. And it's not just them. You know, some of the marchers who marched in New York City, who marched in Europe, they all claim to be leftists. They're really not. They're not classic leftists at all. And they're not Democrats at all, or the comparable ideology over there. What they are is anti-Semitic, period, end of story. That is what it is. And whether they admit it or not, their actions are anti-Semitic. You can't, it's a false equivalence to say that what Hamas does and what Israel does is sort of equivalent. That's a false equivalence. It's a false equivalence because Israel does not go into Gaza, kidnap babies, murder them, slit their throats, behead them in front of their mothers, rape their mothers, carry the dead bodies of a young girl and spit on it. That's sadism. What Hamas does is sadism. And people who side with Hamas, I think the overall, I mean, certainly in their institutional leadership, the overall impetus is anti-Semitism. It may be that there are individuals who are just dumb as a bag of rocks and say, oh, it's not evil, it's not barbaric, and, you know, and it's equivalent and all that, who aren't in their own minds anti-Semitic. Maybe they think that. But right now, throughout our country right now, a lot of synagogues and Jewish schools are under alert because people who have jihadist instincts that came to this country, and in my view, never should have been admitted to the country, threaten them. They go into restaurants to beat up Jewish patrons. That happened in L.A. and that happened in New York. Just the other day, a student in Columbia University was attacked, a Jewish guy just walking in through the campus. You cannot open our hospitality to people who are filled with hate and violence, and that is the essence of jihad. David, my view of some people who get hoodwinked into supporting it as some sort of a cause, are basically naive. They've been pickled in this kind of, there are two cults in this country right now. The most dangerous is the cult of Trump, the fascist cult of Trump that destroys democracy and hates democracy. Those people are right out of the Village of the Damned. And I didn't see the most recent one, but I saw it, the original, back in the 1960s, the early 1960s. And that was when all these people look normal. They walk around town. Suddenly they stand still. Their eyes start to flash like diamonds. And, you know, these people, the Village of the Damned. That is what the Trump fascist cult to destroy democracy is. But there is another cult. And that's, frankly, the identity politics cult of the Islamo left. And I don't know what their motivations are. But what they do is they just sort of in lockstep. And they are not willing to condemn what the Hamas did to Israel. And I think that's wrong. That's very, very wrong. And the final thing I'll say is this. It really goes back to it's really a cultural imperative of jihad that goes back to the 7th century, goes back to the 600s. And throughout history, you're not woke if you don't know history. For 1,400 years, this doctrine has swept through Europe. It swept through the Far East. It took over the Balkans, Greece, Spain, Portugal. It almost got into France, attacked Vienna as late as 1684. And it was finally suppressed. And after the First World War, it was divided up. And then Germany decided to invite a million refugees in who spread it again throughout Europe. That's what's happened. We're coming to the end of the show. There's a lot of other topics I wanted to get to, but this is so important. I'm glad we aired this. Stand by for Diamond Crute, Devil's Advocate, a great show. Have a great weekend, everybody. Matt Flynn Direct. We'll be back same time, same place Monday. And I'm signing off for today.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.